This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, how about those Braves? How about this pitching? How about A.J. Smith-Sharver almost doing what nobody expected him to do last night, Mike? And look, I don't know about you. When it happens, right, when you start to see or sense that this guy doesn't give up. We're talking 8 scoreless? Well, hold on. And you get more focused. You start to think about the what-ifs. Am I about to see history? And then, of course, we know how it played out now. Now, the good news is Braves win, but we needed a performance like this, didn't we?
Yeah, I've been bellyaching about, you know, Schwellenbach kind of losing his edge. You got to get it back. and Sale has not been close, although slowly getting better, you know, incrementally than what he was last year as a Cy Young Award winner. But this is a guy, and, you know, this is one of these guys. It's what it's supposed to happen. This is the progression. The light is supposed to go on because he's got good stuff. And that's why I'm always picking on Kranitz. I'm always wondering, what are you working with these guys? How are you fixing them? But A.J. Smith-Shawver, that is his best start as a Brave, hands down, best start as a pro. And hopefully they build off it because that was just great to see. Strange game last night, too. In that third inning with the Olsen shot to left and the rookie breaks his arm. I felt so. I mean, even Braves fans are like, damn, because, you know, see a guy make an unbelievable catch, go up against the wall, and just basically throw the glove on the ground. You know, and Olsen's like, is that a home run? What is it? And so the umps review it, and yes, it was technically inside the Parker. But yeah, strange game. Didn't score anything after that, but that's all they needed because you said Smith-Shawver was on the point.
8 innings for Smith-Shawver. He gave up 1 hit. And by the way, he's 2-2 now, but he was trying to throw the first no-hitter in the majors this season and was close. No cigar. But again, 22 years old, man. And this is the part about A.J. Smith-Shawver. When you start to look at this rotation and you say, okay, does he have a real shot of being that dude in this rotation or a guy? We've talked about adding veteran pitching, and we've all said, like, okay, this is AA's plan, guys. He's going to allow these young guys to continue to grow, give them innings, and let's just kind of see how this plays out. But, you know, he was 5 strikeouts, walked 4, and I thought was 8 splendid innings for him last night. And the main thing is, you know, the offense backed him up. But that inning in the third, Mike, you're right, that was a brutal – and I didn't see the first view of it. I think Day-Day sent another text to us and said, hey, take a look at this view. Because the first view I saw, he disappears. And you go, oh, so he ran into the wall. And then the other angle, you're like, oh, that's nasty. So, again, hope everything is all right there. Don't want to see anybody ever get hurt or injured. But the Braves win 60 of his 99 pitches for Smith-Shawver last night for strikes. And not bad. I mean, considering that we've been needing these kind of outings. And, guys, we're going to need a lot more. I mean, everybody's looking to Strider like we're looking to Acuna to be Superman. Strider can't win every time out. We hope he does, but we're going to need other guys to step up.
And that's why it's great to see A.J. Smith-Shawver's development continue to where it has his best start as a pro. And hopefully, you know, they figure out, you know, Schwellenbach. And we talked about it with Grant a few times in the last few weeks. Do you kind of deconstruct what he's doing? Don't want to over, you know, get too much in his head. But, you know, Schwellenbach is going to continue to build on what we expect out of him, especially at the end of last year and the way he started the first 2 weeks. So I don't know if someone's got a book on him now, but as long as Schwellenbach gets it going, Smith-Shawver, then, you know, okay, then maybe I don't feel we got to go and overspend at the trade deadline because we don't really have a lot of assets to trade anyway right now.
No, it's a good point. By the way, Chris Sale on the Hill tonight. And we'll see if they can continue this win streak. While we're talking about A.J. Smith-Shawver, let's hear from Brian Snicker talking about the potential of what this rotation could be.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That'd be awesome. Be huge for us going forward. As we know, you can never have too many starting pitchers. And, you know, I just kind of just – it was out there free and easy. I just loved how he – they use his fast bike. We talked about that this afternoon. Somebody asked, and it was good. Again, you know, he hadn't had that jump on it like he did tonight, which was really that was biggest takeaway for me from that was the fastball.
You would almost think Snicker was saying, oh, my God, we're not going to spend any money. I need these guys to pitch like this.
Again, you don't have a farm system that really has a lot of assets right now because, I got no problem with that. They've gone, you know, all in with what they thought were going to be some good pieces making trades. But, yeah, you don't really have all the assets you really need to go get that frontline guy. For whatever reason, you know, the GM won't spend on the established star pitching, won't get in that $125 million and up, sort of dog chasing his tail, I guess, in Alex's mind. But, so, yeah, you're right. Snicker needs his young guns to step up. And this, build off it. Make something off this. Don't come out next week and get lit up like a Christmas tree, right? Let's go.
Yeah, you got to have the confidence to roll yourself out there and throw like this. By the way, he is, Smith-Shawver, that is, the second pitcher this season to allow one hit or fewer over at least 8 scoreless innings. Hell of a performance by him. Chris Sale on the Hill tonight. I need Sale to look like he did last year. Right. Maybe that starts tonight for Chris Sale. But let's hear one more thing from Brian Snicker talking about a performance like this and what it does for a young guy like Smith-Shawver.
Yeah, I mean, like I just keep saying, he's learning on the job. And this is a really great experience, learning experience for him tonight to feel that. I don't know that he's ever touched the eighth inning, you know, here. So it's good for him.
Now, you mentioned what's coming up next with Chris Sale. He has cranked the ERA down from a 6.63 after the Tampa Bay game.
Okay.
To now where he's 4.84. But he's only given up, two earned runs against Colorado in a hitter's park, and one earned run his last start against Arizona. So slowly but surely, he just wasn't really getting the run support, unfortunately. We did give him the run support against Arizona. Some of these games have been sort of National League style, low scoring. But Sale, let's go, baby. Come on.
I agree about the run support. But that was early on in the season, guys, and we were struggling. We started 0-7. Nobody was getting the run support, and especially every fifth day when you were throwing Sale out there, Mike kept saying, we've got to win these games when he pitches. We were struggling with that.
It's almost like sometimes you felt like Glavin never got the run. I know Glavin didn't get the run support when he went up to the Mets, you know, because he was hanging on like 299 for a while. But, I mean, yeah, and Tom was on the call last night on TV. It was kind of a cool night to have Glavin in the booth with Brandon Gaudin as Shawver was doing his thing.
No doubt. All right, guys, plenty to dive into, including what A.J. Terrell had to say about what he thinks the Falcons are going to look like next season on defense. He visited with our guys, the Water Boys, and it's kind of interesting. I want to let you hear what he had to say coming up. 404-726-0929. That is our number. Of course, that is our text line, and you can find us on social media at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes, and follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. More on the Braves coming up. We will dive into the NBA playoffs as well. Last night, Mike, one guy overthunk it, and then the other team, I think they have a soft superstar. And I've said this Jason Tatum. I've said it. And many of you, again, like James Harden, call me crazy and say, oh, man, he's one of the best players in the league. Jason Tatum last night did not take over the game the way he needed to when they just needed to calm down, relax. I'm 6'10". Let me go to the basket. I'm 6'9 and handle like magic. Let me go to the basket and get us a bucket. And, Mike, I just felt like last night was indicative of what I've been saying about Tatum. Look, I love Jaylen Brown. I know his people are from Atlanta. I know he's here all the time. He's the heart and soul of that team. But Tatum is the unbelievable score in this league. And, Mike, he's shooting three after three after three.
Well, again, because Joe Mazzulla, you can't call him an idiot because he is a world champion now. But he coaches like an idiot a lot. And I get it. Nobody takes more 3-point shots than the Celtics. But when you're giving – Tatum is passing up 20 feet 20 feet to an intermediate jump shot, which no one takes anymore in the NBA. But you're right. He can get to the rack. The Knicks, if you guys watched the game last night, I'm losing my mind watching this. Guys, you've got shots, you got high percentage stuff, and all of a sudden you turn into a three-point shooting contest when you're blowing the lead. And that's on Mazzulla. That's Mazzulla because, hey, look, hey, I know the three is our bread and butter, but you guys are athletic enough to get to the basket. So they just completely blew it. It's this analytics crap that is ruining sports. It's like, why, guys, you got runners on base and dudes are going for that launch angle when all you need is a double or a single to move some runners in. But last night, I mean, if Joe Mazzulla, and that's what I said to your point about Jason Tatum, are you a freaking robot? Coach says we must shoot threes. I must shoot threes. Dude, use some common sense. What's your basketball IQ, man? Take it to the rack. Driving me nuts. And the Knicks, meanwhile, now granted, and then when Brunson starts hitting his, now it's almost like, well, we got to take threes.
Right. You feel like you got to.
And Day-Day was saying, they pass on open, they had high percentage shots. They go for threes. They could have just simply got to the basket, get 2 points. That was asinine. Normally, the Celtics wait to the middle of a series to phone one in.
Right.
And now this turns into a real series if the Knicks can steal one of two, maybe take two in Boston.
Yeah, look, the numbers are staggering. When you win this way, everybody goes, man, look at how they shoot the three. But if I told you they shot and missed 45 threes, you're going to be like, huh? There are teams, guys, that played night in and night out in the NBA didn't take 45 threes. On a great night, the Hawks didn't take 45 threes. Okay? So they missed 45, which means they shot 60.
It's insane. And as I said earlier, look, this is there's certain teams that just want to launch, and that's fine. But when you're not, there's just, guys, you watch enough basketball. There's nights when the shots aren't dropping. So let me see. I can take 20 or 15 more steps. Well, hell, those guys are so tall, they take 3 steps, and they get to the basket from the arc. So do something. Work on it.
Yeah, I mean,
you could play high post, and you could switch, and you get Knicks, and get mismatches with the Knicks, and run them in the ground. Right? But no, you're making it easy for them.
Well, and here's the other part. For those of you who are going to say, man, you're being too hard on Tatum, he's a champion now.
But I blame Mazzulla.
Okay. But listen, whoever the coach was,
right?
Jordan wasn't going to do this.
No.
Kobe wasn't going to do this. The point is, the stars are the guys who set the tone and rule the league, Mike. And when you are a guy as established as Jason Tatum, I don't give a damn what Joe Mazzulla's saying. Hey, fellas, we need a bucket. Come to me.
Yes.
That's what happens in this league. Right. When it's Joker on the other side, guess what happens? Give me the rock. That is the difference. I don't give a damn who the coach is. And you're right. Mazzulla is at fault here because he doesn't have the wherewithal to calm things down. But that's what stars do. Right. And that's where this part of it has been missing from the Celtics. And by the way, you got to go through Tatum because he, I think, is more offensively inclined to get you a bucket, maybe than a Jaylen Brown, but I trust Brown almost as much. But, man, that was just crazy last night.
The Knicks took 37 three-pointers, but they hit on 45%, hit 17 to 37, which I don't know in this game, as we said, if it becomes like a P-I-S-S-I-N-G contest where all of a sudden you feel like now I've got to shoot threes. And that's, again, made no sense. If you watch the ebb and flow of that game, Boston was in total control, and they did the only thing that allowed the Knicks back in it. Now, ironically, Boston comes back to lead. You know, then the Knicks started to do some stupid stuff of their own, but a great big win for the Knicks. And I thought, you know, Anunoby was solid because he's been kind of, him and Bridges took a little heat this year at times for New York fans, but solid, very solid effort. And, hey, you've accomplished the goal. You stole 1 or 2 up in Beantown.
We're going to come back, talk about what the other series looked like. Monumental coaching mistake, in my opinion. We'll get into that as part of our daily download. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game. So you had the Knicks steal one, literally, against the Celtics, and then you had, in my opinion, coaching mistakes that blew the game for OKC. We'll dive into that. NBA playoffs continues tonight. It's Dukes and Bale, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to let you hear from our guys, the Water Boys. They're going to start doing stuff with us here on our show. And if you're not familiar with their podcast, they are local, and they are guys that I absolutely love, B-Rich and Trey. And they had a chance to sit down with A.J. Terrell. And we're going to let you hear what he said about the defense, guys, coming up here in just a little bit. You do not want to miss it. Stay right there. Also coming up next hour, Mike, Odyssey insider Nick Friedel is going to join us. He's going to talk about what's going on in these playoffs, and we'll ask him about his thoughts about what you were saying in regards to the coaching with the Celtics. And look, you win a chip, right? You get leeway. But it's these moments where you go, does he know what he's doing?
Because in previous, you know, last season, year before, I've said sometimes you watch Missoula and you just go, what are you thinking? Or does he have an assistant coach who didn't go with Emi Udoka to Houston who can keep him on track when sometimes you say the game is getting away from you? But, yeah, that was curious. And then, again, you saw it last night, and we'll talk about that. The man of the dad bod was just absolutely unbelievable last night. It's like, watch, remember, guys, remember, I don't know if our younger audience remembers Arvydas Sabonis' dad, but it's funny because Sabonis would literally look like a guy, it was like Meadowlark Lemon in slow motion, right? That's what Sabonis would look like, you know, doling out passes, sometimes putting it up, but that's just, it's so funny to watch Joker do his thing, and you're like, how is this guy able to beat these guys?
It's nuts, Mike, because every time he shoots, I go, that's not going in.
Right.
The way he just, it's like, you know, the ball's back here. How is he even making these shots? Some of the stuff is incredible, but he is a triple-double waiting to happen, and arguably when you've got the best player in the league, this shouldn't be a shocker. And by the way, Russell Westbrook, he's playing out of control right now.
Yeah, I mean, the good kind of out of control, not where he just runs into the backboard and throws the ball into the side of the rim. But yeah, this is one where he's actually showing you he can get dialed in and do it. He can still do it.
He can still do it. All right, more on that coming up. As we said, in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll get to 4th and 1. Mike and I were just having a conversation off air about, I saw this headline, and we're trying to ask and find out. I'm not sure Falcons always watching, judging, listening.
Yep.
If we are going to be one of the teams to have one of these alternate helmets, there are 5 teams that are set to have alternate helmets in 2025. And I said to Mike, I mean, we haven't seen the schedule yet. Obviously, that comes out, I think, next week, right?
Yep, 14th.
So we haven't seen that yet. But if there's a chance that we may be going overseas, I'm like, okay, are we one of these teams? And it says, well, Steelers and Chargers are going to unveil them. But then it has Browns, Commanders, and New Orleans will be debuting new alternate helmets in 2025. And I'm like, we're not a part of this?
There was an article last year from the spring about this time in 2024 saying that, yeah, if you put in the paperwork to the NFL, you can have one of these alternate helmets. They're going to expand, loosen it up that you can do it.
Okay.
But we don't know if we're going to have. I know we're going to – I believe we're going to wear the red helmets at least 3 home games this year. So
you like the Reds.
I like the throwback. I would just, honestly, guys, I would just make those unis the standard. I would just go with the red lid, the black jersey, and the white breeches with the stripe. I think it's clean. I think we look good. I think most people dig it. And I would get off, because I just think it just, some of these uniform combos, I think when Nike came out, it was around during COVID, when Nike released the new uniforms.
Oh, that's right.
The Cleveland Browns look like crap. The Jets look like crap. And I got to be honest, I have never liked our new uniforms. They're not new anymore. It's 5 years now. They put no effort into it. It's very unappealing. Remember the Grady? I think the only one you liked was a Grady.
The Grady, yes.
The red to black. But it just, for the most part, it just laid there. There's nothing.
That was the one,
yeah. It almost looked like the Mean Machine jerseys from the Burt Reynolds movie. Black with just red single ATL. It just had nothing to it. So I do wish we go to those throwbacks. I think those are pretty cool.
But you said it. They got to put it in way in advance, right?
Yeah. Now, again, some guys have said, what about a white helmet or a silver helmet? I don't know, man. But something alternate, you know, I know that the kids love the cool, crazy stuff. I just think the throwback is tight and clean. I think most fans dig it.
All right, coming up 3 o'clock, we'll get to 4th and 1 also. I think she looked too far into it. I'll explain coming up. Hey, Dom is here hanging out with us. He's part of the fam. He's in for Big O. They are apparently going to induce tonight. And they are looking forward to their second child. So congratulations. We are praying for you guys and hope everything goes all right. But Big O is off. Dom is hanging out with us and our executive producer, Day-Day. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
AJ Smith-Shawver. Oh, man. Congratulations on a great outing. Mike said it. Let's build on it. But Mike, he said, look, coming into the clubhouse, looking around, seeing guys feel good because, hey, we're doing some things that we knew we were capable of. Listen to Smith-Shawver.
I mean, it means everything. Whenever the guys in the clubhouse are believing in you and they want you to take the ball and go win games, I feel like that's, as a pitcher, that's your ultimate goal. You want those guys to trust you and know what they're going to get out of you every night. So having that happen and we have a great team and great teammates and just great people in our clubhouse. So just that supports everything.
Mark Bowman, who writes and covers the Braves for MLB Network, MLB.com, was saying that last time he got sent down, kind of using that Carl as extra motivation.
Okay.
You know, and kind of, you know, look within yourself, you know, and finding some stuff. You know, he's only 22, but as we said, you know, he's had some chances and now says big steps mentally for him. Snicker talked about it, you know, and that's what you're looking for, a guy to kind of just figure it out. And when you get back to the show, handle your business. And he obviously did that against the Reds.
Do you think the Braves starters need to be allowed to pitch deeper into these games?
Yes, I've said that a lot. And one of the things when I get people that say, stop kissing Snickers, but I don't know Snicker, anything. It don't mean nothing. I just think guys get too hard on the guy. You watch every game, 162. Yeah, there'll be certain instances you get this or that you don't like. But I do agree with those critics who say yes. And John Smoltz comes on our show all the time and says, young pitchers will never learn how to finish a game unless they get through the sixth inning. And so when you're 5 1/3 and the pitch count gets, oh no, it's 89, you know, it's like, let's go. And you've got to be able to figure out how to get through that lineup 3 and 4 times. And I always say, John's old school, because it works. And sometimes there are too many things that are too modern now, which is we coddle some of the starting pitchers.
We do.
So they never develop.
No, we absolutely do. And look, money has a role in that in some instances. But I also think whatever your philosophy is, and listen, the Braves had a philosophy when they were the most dominant staff in the major leagues. And that was we threw a lot, meaning bullpen right. sessions. Mike, we stayed in games. We've battled our way out of trouble. That has got to be the philosophy. And last night, you know, again, AJ was smooth as butter, but I like the fact that Snit had no intention of going out there to get him. He's like, let him go. That's what needs to happen.
Well, now the difference, the only caveat to what we're talking about is Ronaldo Lopez, because remember, he had been a relief pitcher.
Yeah.
And he went back to being a sort of a setup long relief, and then he goes back to being a starter. And so for him, I guess, again, because we don't spend money on pitching, they do have to sort of handle him with kid gloves, and he still got injured. Yeah, you know, he's still dealing with an injury either way. So I'm with you. Just let it rip. Let these guys figure it out. I mean, everyone's going to get so Strasburg-y. Remember that with the Nationals? And I understand it. You know, when a young pitcher isn't making his way in the show and he's never pitched more than, I don't know, pick your number, 150 innings. Yeah, I understand the logic behind it, but there's some games where this is a good moment for him, and he's not over the pitch count, so let's roll.
Let's roll. All right, man. Braves tonight, Chris Sale on the bump. We'll talk to Grant later in the show. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Oh, it's Knicks Celtics. Knicks steal a game won in overtime last night. Mike and I were chopping it up and talking about this. Look, Jalen Brunson, Mike said it, once he got hot and he starts knocking down shots. By the way, is he not one of the best closers in the league?
Yes.
I mean, hands down, like if they're down and you're going, all right, they need a shot. Who would have thought 3 or 4 years ago you'd be like, Jalen Brunson, man, give him the rock.
Here's the problem. And Day-Day, our producer, we're talking about this off mic. 46 minutes for Anunoby, 44 minutes for Jalen Brunson, 45 minutes for Josh Hart. And the best scorers off the bench, 11 points for Miles McBride in 19 minutes. These guys will wear down. That's where Celtics will win this series probably now in 6.
Depth.
Because of the depth.
Yeah.
You know, despite, you know, Missoula may have launched all those three-point shots. But that's the problem with Tibbs. And also, you could argue with the way the Knicks are constructed, unless some of these guys can get healthy, but they just don't have enough players in the rotation right now.
This is Brunson hitting the game-tying three-pointer in the fourth quarter. Again, this game went to overtime.
Takes him to the foul line. Now in the lane. Almost lost his balance. Kept his dribble. Brunson near corner. Wide open three for the tie. He got it! Brunson knocks things up at 89 with 5:49 to go.
He's nice, man. I'm just, you know, I'm more and more impressed with him. And when he left Dallas, everybody said Luka made him.
Right.
That's not the case. Jalen can play, and he's actually become the leader of that New York Knicks squad. Knicks up 1-0 in that series. Here, by the way, is Brunson on the Celtics shooting a lot of threes. This is what he said.
I mean, they still got a lot of threes up. So it's on us to limit their attempts. But I think for the most part, we made them tough. They had a lot of easy looks that they were thankful that they missed. But yeah, continue to make it tough. And You just don't know when they're going to be able to knock them down, because they also, I think, beginning of the year, almost had a record on us shooting 63s. So, I mean, we got to be better at that aspect and not let them shoot as much and not let them get open shots.
Yeah, they just weren't dropping. I mean, and as we said, the combination of, you know, the shots aren't dropping and then great looks and ability. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I know I sound like my dad now. Sorry. You know, I mean, you can hit a jump shot from 10 feet. I mean, I know the analytics advise three because it's one more. I understand more than two, Carl. But sometimes you get a good look inside the paint or just outside. Come on, take the shot. And they wouldn't. They just refused. And if you're the Knicks, like, thank you very much. We'll take it.
No doubt. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
Oh, it's the other series. Denver-OKC. This also was a barn burner, guys. Denver comes back and beats OKC, Mike, chipping away at a 20-point lead. They win 121-119. Aaron Gordon, once again, was the hero.
Second free throw, Holmgren. Missed it again. Rebound down to Christian Brown. You got to hurry. 8-7 seconds. Front court over to Westbrook. Left side, Gordon for the win. Yeah! 2.8 seconds left. Coming back the other way. Williams from half court. Baked it, no good at the horn, and the Denver Nuggets shock the Oklahoma City Thunder in game number one. Final tonight, 121-119.
How do the teams that were really good handle the Heat? You know, we talked about the Rockets the other day. They need another star. Maybe Durant goes there next year. But the Thunder, you got to make your freaking free throws, because all of a sudden Denver goes, well, we'll hack you guys all night if you guys are butchering it from the stripe. And that's what happened last night. If you didn't see it, it was part of the storyline. The Thunder were missing, let's see, they shot altogether 71% from the foul line.
So sometimes you just got to let people make shots. And their coach decided they were going to do this strategy, which they've done in the past, and it came back to bite them. So we'll see how the rest of this series goes, but you're at home, you're up. Make them make shots, because when they miss, they're going to have to foul you. You've got the lead with 12 seconds to play, and they blew this opportunity last night, man. Unbelievable comeback by the Denver Nuggets.
What do you think, though? You like the makeup of this Denver team? Because we said, you know, when they won the championship, it was basically Jamal Murray and Joker.
Yes.
You feel you're getting enough different guys like Gordon every night now? I mean, if they can get a little more supporting cast, then they'll be all right.
Yeah, we were talking, Day-Day said, they feel like they're coming together. They hadn't played like this all year, to be honest. That's why I'm alone. There was probably a lot of friction going on, Mike, behind the scenes. But it feels like they're coming together.
If Westbrook can give you 18 or more every night, you're going to win the series.
They're going to be good. Hey, man, coming back, A.J. Terrell, yeah, our guy, talking to the Water Boys, tells you what he expects from this Falcons defense. Now that the draft is done, stay right there.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in about 20 minutes. Mike, I think she just read into this a little bit far. That's my guess, okay? We'll get into that. Also, the Rams and Matthew Stafford are finalizing their deal. There's a lot of NFL news going on, and we'll get you caught up on all of that. Our boys, B. Rich and Trey, they do a podcast called The Water Boys. They're really cool dudes. We've been on the podcast. They've had other personalities from this radio station. They're going to be doing some stuff with us here on this show as we move forward. But they had a chance to sit down with AJ Terrell. And I want you to hear, Mike, what he said in regards what the expectations are for the defense. Now, remember, this is after the draft. Okay, so now he's looking at the defense and he's going, all right, we're going to get some guys and get some pressure up front.
Right.
And he's just talking about the overall defense. But the main thing I think that he's talking about here, guys, is, yeah, we got a new coordinator, but it's always the great defenses are player-led. They are the guys that invest into what they want this defense to be. And so A.J. Terrell is asked by B. Rich and Trey about what's this defense going to look like.
One thing about the back end, a safety, a corner, if we don't value nothing more than anything, we value a D-line. People that's going to get to the quarterback. It make your job easy. I tell a lot of people, I don't care who you can have the sorriest corner, the sorriest safety in the back end. They going to look like they all pro with the front. Having those two pieces added to the defense, I'm super excited for them. I know I text Jalen for sure when he got drafted because he was the first one, but I text him and told him, let's get it. Like, I'm happy about the moves we made. I like that the whole organization is on the same page for what we need and what we need for right now. And I just, you know, I can't wait to get to work. As far as the team, I feel like every offseason, every team feel like they Super Bowl ready.
Yeah.
You know, that's common. Like, you always looking at, okay, you know, we got such and such here. This person there, you got AJ out here, Jesse back there, you got man, we, you know, we straight offense, yeah. We got boom, boom, boom. But the beauty, like the game is everybody, 9 out of 10 ain't gonna be healthy for the whole ride. So you got that going on, then you got teams that just come out the blue, and then again, we playing in the NFL, like it's a team that bloom every year.
Yeah, I think we're gonna be that 100%. One.
Exactly. So it's like it's one of those years where it's, you know, I feel confident for what we got, and then what's our team mission and standard. Yeah. Like, defensively, for sure, I just feel like we doing the right thing, and the difference is just going to be, like I said before, player-led.
Yeah.
Like, the coach is going to do their behalf. Everybody got a job to do. And the difference between NFL teams, I feel like, is it's in the players, it's in the locker room, it's the culture, it's how we talking, what we believe, and all of those things that help us see bigger.
Take it to the next level.
Exactly.
AJ Terrell on the Water Boys.
No, it's as far as his point, I agree. It seems like in the NFL, there's always teams that are rising or falling. Teams that get hit with injuries, or sometimes they just age out like right in front of your eyes, right? Or other teams come together. We were one of those teams in 16 because, you know, he talks about the division. You know, for like 4 years, like 2010 to 13, somebody would go and win the division, and then another team would win it the next year.
Yep.
And then you brought this up yesterday, and you talked, I missed it on Friday because you talked to Rick Stroud from Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has won this division now 4 years in a row, and before that, the Saints won it 4 years in a row. So who's missing?
Us.
Right. So it's time to go. We haven't won it since 16.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's why when we talk about, like, oh, it's a division race between us and Tampa. Is it?
Well, look, the Saints, now again, barring some crazy, your boy Shuck just balls out. I don't know what they're going to be doing to QB.
You mean 45-year-old Tyler Shuck?
Yes, he is. After 17 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
You know, you hear some of these guys coming out of the draft, it's almost like in the old days, you go to a strip club and you meet a stripper. She's like, well, I'm just working my way through college. I'm like, you're 36. What are you going for, two masters? But anyway, getting back to Shuck and the Saints, I don't know what they're going to be. Carolina beat us. We can't brag on, you know, oh, we're better than them. They scored more points than us, humiliated us in the last game of the season.
It was ugly.
Sure hope we turn that around. But one last thing on AJ and his comments to the Water Boys, complimentary football is what he's talking about. It's got to start at the front.
And that's what he's saying, guys. Like, he's basically telling us, I'm watching the draft, I'm like, oh, we're going edge? We're going edge again? Okay. He got excited because he knows how that can make his job easier. Mike and I talk a lot about these great defenses. We've not had one in a long time. But they all start with the players. They just do. And this is no disrespect to Jeff Olbrich. I think he's going to do a really good job. I said it. I'm going to give him a clean slate, a fresh page to start here and not say, hey, I'm working under this guy or that guy. This is my defense. This is what I want to do with it. But if these players, like Mike, if Jalen done pop, if James Pierce done pop,
right?
I mean, Kay Nellis has got to have another great season. He was unbelievable last year. If Rook done pop, all this stuff is irrelevant, man. Like, it doesn't matter. So when AJ is like, the standard, what is it? What's the mission? And it's got to be player-led. That, to me, is what he's talking about. The stars have to play like stars. If you feel like you've got budding stars on this defense,
right,
or maybe guys like Jesse Bates, who absolutely is one of the best in the league, but hasn't had the complimentary other players around.
Well, that's just it. All the guys you drafted have been mostly higher picks on offense. So your defensive guys, like Troy Anderson, was a second-round pick. We thought he was going to be something special, and he was on his way to having a really good year, and they got hurt again. So that's a guy who's got, you know, tremendous athleticism, but you know, they bet on a guy that was kind of, you know, a combine darling, hasn't done it. We've talked about Arnold Ebiketie. We've seen his ceiling. That's six sacks. So that's solid, but that's not star stuff.
Mm-mm.
You know, I think Cade Nellis, I thought they had him misplaced. I think a lot of that goes how Jimmy Lake was using him. I think he got better once, let's be honest,
Ra
took over. But, yeah, we don't have stars. Our stars are the free agents. It's Jesse Bates. A.J. Terrell doesn't really get thrown at, so sometimes it's hard to quantify what he's doing. But you're right. I mean, we don't have those guys. Our best defensive players other than the safeties the last few years were Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree 2 years ago. And we're giving up 25 points a game. Falcons last year gave up 24.9, you know, and that's a problem. You've got to hold it. And if not, then you better be the most dynamic offense in the world.
Yeah.
Like we were in 16.
Well, remember when the Chargers came in here? I don't know if you guys remember this. And they came in and they had the number one defense in the league last year. Okay. They were giving about 17 points a game. And then they beat us with one wide receiver. Okay? Happened to be a Georgia boy. And the thing is, when your defense can play like that, this is what Mike's alluding to, we haven't been able to do that. Our offense hasn't been able to just go into a game, and the defense has been so good, don't worry, we're going to hold them down. You guys just score a couple of touchdowns, give me a couple of field goals, and we'll be good. Literally, that's what happened in that game. And it's like, okay, we've got to get to that level, Mike, where you go into a game, you go, all right, if the offense – Ray Lewis used to say this when the Ravens were at their height, and I'm not saying we're going to have that kind of defense, but he was like, offense, give me a touchdown. A touchdown, and we're going to be good today.
Right. Now, I just wanted to give you a comparison score-wise. 2023, that was Ryan Nielsen's defense. We gave up 18.9 points per game.
Better.
Problem was we had a quarterback blank show.
Yep.
That was the Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke situation. So – you know, it's so exasperating to see this defense. It's never when one is working, the other one isn't. Like I always go back to 17. Sarkisian never really had a handle on the Falcons version of the Shanahan offense. And that defense is really good. 17, that defense took a huge leap. We always talk about how great we were in the playoffs. We held the Eagles under 16 points at home. You know, beat the Rams in LA and then just couldn't score.
And by the way, I don't think you'll ever see that kind of defense again. I'm not talking about just from a personnel standpoint. The league is built for offense. So when we tell you, hey, if we can hold teams under 20 points, guys, I'm telling you, we're going to win 11, 12 games. Like, seriously, that's just the league. But when you're giving up, to Mike's point, 25, 28, mm-hmm. you get into that category of, you know, we're second to last in the league and allowing points, that's when you start, you know, having issues and finding ways to close out games. 404-726-0929. Interesting stuff there from A.J. Terrell talking about how he views this defense and what he expects it to be, talking to the Water Boys, B-Rich and Trey. Hey, man, as we talk about the Falcons, Mike, one conversation we're going to have today, and it's something that, ironically, you were out Friday down in Miami, and Abe and I got into this a little bit, and we were talking about, you know, concerns. And he said something that just I didn't have a concern about. And then when you and I were talking, and you were like, I kind of have a concern about this too. And I'm like, you're concerned about Michael Penix Jr.?
Well, I mean, you and I were talking about this off the air the other day. We all saw Michael Penix Jr. do enough after, you know, a rookie mistake with the interception in the Commanders. In the first series of the game, mind you, comes back and does enough to lead them to victory. The coach couldn't manage the clock, I think, the right way. You know, we'll debate that forever. But we never got a chance to take a timeout and give him a chance to get our field goal kicker. Remember, it wasn't Koo in a position. He did a great job in a playoff atmosphere on national TV. That was solid. Giants game, he won. He got a win. You know, Pitts didn't help him play, you know, blah, 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 you know, patty cake with the football. And then he put up enough points to beat Carolina, but the defense couldn't stop anybody. All that is true, but that's just three games. We, you, me, everyone listening in their car, we want Penix Jr. to be the guy. That doesn't mean he's going to be the guy. Wanting something and what it's going to be are two different things. As our old agent said, Carl, the world we live in and the world we want. In the world we want, Penix Jr. throws for 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and he hits the ground running and looks as good as Jaden Daniels or somebody last year, right? Like Bo Nix. Don't know if that's going to happen for sure. We don't know. I mean, I'm just, and that's just facting. We can assume from those three games and then analyze and say, what's it going to be if you extrapolate it over 17 games?
Michael Penix is going to be that guy, Mike. Going to be that guy.
Let me throw this at you. If we had done, I'm not arguing it, I'm just saying if we simply just drafted Penix Jr. and had put money onto the defense to help our defense last year, establish free agents that we could have gotten the quarterback, how would Penix Jr. have done? I think, remember the first game against Pittsburgh, Cousins couldn't move, but then conversely, could Penix Jr. have had you win that Eagles game the way Cousins did in the two-minute drill?
That I don't know.
See, that's the thing. So if you go
the first game of the season in that atmosphere, I don't know.
But with a better defense, again, I know this is that parallel universe. We'll never know. But could Penix Jr., by the time we get to the final third or fourth of the season, he's on point the way we saw Jaden Daniels evolve?
Michael Penix is going to be that guy, Mike.
That's why I just hate that we wasted a year.
He's going to be that guy.
I hate that we wasted a year of his development.
He's going to be that guy.
Look, I know.
Let me ask you guys this, and we'll dive in deeper into this a little bit later on. But, yeah, Mike, he heard that, and we were talking. And he's like, I kind of feel the same way. I was like, what? When did you know about Matt Ryan? Don't tell me after he threw the first touchdown that you knew he was going to be a future Hall of Famer and one day take us to the Super Bowl and one day win an MVP. You didn't. You felt good that he threw a touchdown as a rookie in his first play, but you didn't know. But at what point did you know, like, this dude's got it? I'm willing to tell you right now, three games at the end of the last season, and to Mike's point, on Sunday Night Football, when every eyeball in the country is watching this guy, and he's got a chance to choke it away. The Commanders scored, and we went back down and scored on a drive that most young quarterbacks would have choked on.
Right.
And he led the drive like it was no big deal. Whoop, 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 whoop. That's throwing the ball down the field. Touchdown. He's got it. And that is why I believe you may be right, I may be wrong, you may be wrong, I may be right. I think he's got it, and I think he's going to be that dude.
All I'm saying is, because I put a fine point on the argument, we just don't know. I don't know enough. I mean, there's guys that have had a three-game run and say, I think that guy's ready to go. I mean, hell, our beloved Dave Archer had three great games for the Falcons, and unfortunately got dropped on his shoulder by Richard Dent. Now, I'm not wishing injury, I'm just saying things could go sideways quickly. But I want to believe in Penix. I'm just saying, you know, you can't put the cart before the horse. Hopefully, you know, I didn't think Zach Robinson was great last year. I think he had to learn on the job. As we said, he kind of got dealt from the bottom of the deck when he had to deal with that Cousins nonsense. Cousins couldn't execute what he was calling. But I do think a full season, especially, I wish they'd given him more reps. Why Penix Jr. didn't get more than one series in the preseason? Because then all the eggs were in the Cousins basket the rest of the way. But anyway, that's water under the bridge. This year, it's his show.
It is. It is. We'll discuss more. We'll let you hear more on this as we move along when we come back. Was she looking a little bit deeper into this than maybe she should have been? We'll explain next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.